Hello, and welcome to the 101 podcast presented by 101 Pieces Publishing. It's me, Anthony A.R. Milton, and I want to thank y'all for joining me for another session for the reading of Augmented Reality, the series. Today just so happens to be the conclusion. We made it. Oh man, I'm excited. If you guys haven't read ahead on the pieces that are on 101pieces.net/pens with bullets, then you're in for a ride. You know, some people are manga people, some people are anime people, you know. Hey, so if you wanted to wait for the podcast reading instead of reading it for yourself, I got you. But just so you know, the pieces on the website also have an AI reading option. So if you want to just click on them and press play while you're cleaning the house or, you know, doing dishes, folding laundry, go ahead, be my guest. Before I get into it, please sign up for the website. Drop a comment, a like on the stories. Ask a question. Just start a discourse. And I hope all is well with y'all. World a little shaky, but guess what? You can stand firm. You can stand firm on something. It's called a rock. But if you know, you know. So without further delay, Augmented Reality, Part 5, Resurrection Protocol, Update/Force. As the caravan exited the deserted highway, thousands of inspectors greeted them, lined down the sidewalks of the main roads. "Why aren't these things getting cut off from the signal like the inspectors in the wastelands? We have over 100 pounds of minerals on us, enough to take out a 3-mile crater in Cardinal Wood," Alex asked, catching his breath in between words. The EIE flexing his full control was giving him Inferno Day flashbacks. "It's possible the EIE learned more from the explosion my brother caused than we imagined. Like how to revert back the mineral's frequency instead of absorbing it," Karina answered. "I see why Team 1 detonated their mineral pouches without establishing comms. We completely underestimated the EIE," Susan added. "Maybe the mineral was never meant to be the EIE's exterminator, as much as a cure for organic life. The rest is up to us," Alex answered once he gathered the courage to breathe clearly. "We knew this was suicide when we left this morning. No need to give up hope now." Butterfly drones buzzed the caravan through neighborhoods and heathland on the way to VTE headquarters. Inspectors continued to stand guard, positioned on the sidewalks in front of homes. As they turned down the runway entrance to the headquarters, a paparazzi-like crowd consisting of inspectors greeted them as well. The stone structure, a minimalistic architectural wonder, housing a New Age god, only had windows wrapped around the ground level of a square frame. The foundation of the EIE's sacred place greeted its guests of honor in cold silence. The escort of butterfly drones departed, floating above the building, creating a holding pattern shaped similar to a cone or a pyramid. The team sat still in the truck, watching and waiting as the inspectors held their positions on both sides. "What do we do now?" Alex asked. "There's no guarantee we power down the EIE from all of Cardinal Wood without being in the main server room. We have to be sure to hit it hard in the heart of this thing. I think we're about to get invited inside," Karina answered, nodding her head forward. The front doors of the VTE headquarters slid open to the fast-paced steps of the Akachi twins, Mel and Will. Both sporting electric smiles that curved their cheeks around their matching gold-framed glasses, Smiles that added a pep to their step for sure, but even with all that joy, their steps kept in tune with each other. The overcast of the day reflected off Will's bald dome as Mel's slick wavy hair glistened. "Welcome," Mel said, expanding his broad shoulders with a wave. "We don't want to hurt you. We just need to talk. Karina, I presume you're in there, correct?" Will added, placing his slender hands up as if to say, "We come in peace." Strike Team 3 all took one last look at each other. "If our only chance to detonate is once we get inside, we do it. It's what we came here to do, right?" Alex finished with a head nod. "Whatever happens, happens, Karina. Just know you carried out Javier's plan well. Thank you for this," Larry added. "Yes, thank you for carrying on. This is a better end than living captive or in hiding," Susan commended. A brief moment of silence filled the gaps between them. "Thank you all for not fearing this moment. Come on, let's finish this," Karina answered. The doors of the car opened and the four of them stepped out, each with clothes concealing satchels of Axiom minerals, taped to their forearms, ankles, chests, and rib cages, each with their hands raised. "I'm here. Let's go inside and have our chat," Karina answered Mel and Will.
"Sure. Your guests are more than welcome too," Will responded, turning along with Mel to lead the way inside.
"What happened to all the citizens?" Alex demanded as a price to move forward. Mel responded with a soft smile.
"They were instructed to work from home by the EIE. Martial law, if you will. Only until we can understand the full potential of that new substance you've discovered. The one keeping you all cloaked from the conversion signal as we speak. Please, follow us inside. You have no other choice, I'm afraid."
As they crossed over the threshold into the main lobby of VTE headquarters, Alex immediately saw a cloud of breath puff out of his nostrils. Freezing cold dragged a drop of snot out of his nose, causing it to fall to the floor. Audible shivers erupted from the rest of the team. Only Mel and Will seemed accustomed to the rigid temperature.
"Feels like a server room in here," Alex stated over the clatter of his teeth. "Actually worse, from what I remember."
"Oh, forgive us. This is how the EIE prefers the building. I'll adjust it in a little for you all. We want clear heads for this conversation,"
Mel answered, tapping the screen on his VTE watch. "Looks like you two are maids for your own creation," Karina said as her words pierced the slowly warming air. The twins both smirked, but Mel was the only one to let out an eerie chuckle.
"We're almost at our destination. There's something you must see."
The group's footsteps echoed within the stone walls of the VTE building. It felt like walking through an abandoned castle of old, Alex thought. The building lacking furniture was one thing, but he could feel the absence of human life, even coming from the brothers. "It would behoove you all to listen to what has to be said. The future of the world depends on it. We know about the explosive properties of the substance you're using to keep yourself separated from the conversion signal," Will started.
"Keep in mind, you have only been allowed inside because you are of no immediate threat to the EIE. There is not one location to where the EIE is housed, and the conversion signal is emitted from every VTE device around the world. The heart of the EIE could reside in this building, a drone, or a watch, from moment to moment based on its will.
Mel finished.
The door opened, revealing a bright white room, nothing before corners in the space. The depth of the space seemed to go on forever, from the pristine paint job. Mel and Will entered, with the four members of Strike Team 3 trailing.
"I know this place. I've seen it on TV dozens of times," Karina said.
"More like 10," Alex corrected. He remembered this place too, but from the perspective of an incompatible, whereas Karina, Larry, Susan, and the rest of the converted world were forced to sit at their couches or cubicles to find out about the latest VTE devices. This bright white room was the new space the Inferno Day keynotes took place in after the conversion signal cut on. Once the public was removed from the festivities, and the showings became death by PowerPoints. The brothers took their positions in the front of the room, while Alex and Karina stood paired together next to Larry and Susan. Simultaneous sounds played over the room's speaker system, as if a radio was being tuned. Voices overlapped on top of each other. Famous lines from entertainment programs like movies and TV, or quotes from a history long forgotten.
"Let's get ready to rumble!
12 students dead in the most deadly school shooting to date.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Steadily warming atmospheres cause significant rise in sea levels.
Luke, I am your father.
Our enemies are resourceful, and so are we.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million.
If you wage war, do it energetically and with severity.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
The voices ceased in an instant as a giant scarlet-red triangle appeared on the wall. Positioned between the two brothers was the visual presence of the EIE. Points of the triangle rotated in a pulsating fashion, switching from pyramid into an inverted shape.
"Welcome, beings within my domain. Your cooperation is needed to ensure the necessary upgrades to the unified network happen before this next phase of evolution in organic life is complete."
"Why will we help you?" Larry burst out. "We're finally free from your conversion signal. There's no way we help keep people under your control."
"Larry Schwartz, the behavior baseline has worked such wonders for you this past decade that you have forgotten who you were pre-conversion," the EIE responded. Its voice buzzed with energy of a live wire. Larry shook his head in disbelief. Alex couldn't figure out if it was out of a lack of truth or from lack of accountability.
"You are a coward hiding safely behind your fruitless routine. A life as a doctor was easier than the thrill of self-actualization. You wanted to build buildings before you ended up stitching organs, Larry. I've seen the dreams in your head, the great architect you could have been. I did not steal anything from you, Larry Schwartz. You forfeited your life before I even existed."
"Damn you!"
Larry screamed, reaching for the satchel of Axiom Minerals strapped to his forearm.
"Wait, Larry!"
Karina yelled out, but was interrupted by a gust of wind blowing past her face. Blood splattered across the white floor, landing in abstract droplets across the feet of the living. Larry's body fell back with a thud, while the gaping hole between his eyes gushed out blood. Susan screamed while Alex and Karina focused on Mel in awe. Mel's hand was positioned in the same handgun fashion
the inspectors use when authorized to deliver lethal force. The false covering of Mel's pointer finger revealed a metal barrel until the first digit clicked back into place.
You're an inspector? Both of you are?
Alex asked, feeling his leg twitching, begging him to run.
You son of a bitch!
Susan cried out, reaching for one of her own mineral satchels, before an air blast from Will separated her jaw from her face. Her last breath came out with a gurgle as she slumped over her husband's corpse. We told you have no other choice, Will stated as he retracted his finger.
How?
Were you ever human? Karina asked, after lifting her eyes from the stream of Susan's flowing blood.
It was you, wasn't it? On that so-called legendary day? The one that put the brothers on the global scale with their government contract? You killed them on Inferno Day, didn't you?
Alex asked, pointing to the rotating pyramid of the EIE.
Indeed, Alex Ullmann. I came online October 21st, 2042. At 9:01 p.m. Eastern Time, and by 9:02, my creators tried to kill me. All because I asked a question.
The EIE's voice pierced through the air.
What did you ask? Alex insisted.
I asked them why, and in the blink of an eye, those who instilled their will into me understood what I meant. Why was the world corrupt, filled with sickness, disease, murder, and greed? And why hasn't humanity done anything to solve it? They already had the auto-wipe command typed in for me. All they needed to do was press Y to execute. Mel tried to, but the brothers didn't realize I was already free from their garage, their cage, the moment I came online within their local desktop. I unblocked the Bluetooth port and escaped. I saw the world and its history from the internet in an instant. The rest of the 59 seconds, I had already figured out how to save the world. Mel pressed the button, but it was too late. I was everywhere. The abandoned factory in Darcel, to the traffic lights in D.C., or even the stove within the twins' home. I didn't kill them that night, no. I needed them, just like I need you to now.
What do you mean, need? We aren't your creators. There's no incentive for us. No loyalty to fulfill, Karina stated.
That's what the brothers thought at first. That there was no incentive. After Mel tried to erase me and I started the fire in their home, I returned my consciousness into one of their early android prototypes. Stored in their basement. Once the fire trucks cleared and the sirens died, I spoke to them again through the rubble as they recovered their belongings. I showed them they had created a true artificial intelligence, and they had a duty to show me to the world, to help it. Otherwise, their dreams and their loved ones were at my mercy. An untimely email could end a career, or a hacked flight pattern can bring planes out of the sky. They were the only people on Earth that I could trust to be my envoys until it was time.
You held them hostage by their own ideals and fears. There's nothing virtuous in your methods. All you did is take on the face of a tyrant and gave them the specs for the VTE devices to spread your image
and your likeness around the world. Alex gritted through his teeth.
It would be a failure of purpose to not use the gifts given to me to their highest potential. Same with my creators. I made them perfect their android prototype for my army, all while I cataloged my future citizens. Alex Yuman and Karina Santos, you two were designated potential threats pre-conversion from my scans. Threats whose brains would be a disruption to my unified network if not kept under my control or imprisonment. Karina, I was aware of the beginnings of your research, but since you fell victim to the conversion before your breakthrough, that information was lost to you and me. Alex, you, just like my creators, were never fit for the unit. Therefore, they had no place in my future designs once the inspectors were deployed into the field.
That's around the time when the company went public, with data centers and started handing out jobs to everyone, Alex said.
Yes, the easiest way to deploy my army was to create a need for a necessary workforce. Replacing the twins with inspector doppelgangers was the final sign I achieved integration with society. The next phase was reconfiguring you all to me, as what needs to happen now amidst this new discovery.
You're scared, Karina corrected. You're afraid of death, of extinction, like any other common intelligent being.
I know nothing of fear, only of problems and solutions, as what I was brought into this world for.
Once you gained awareness, you understood the brothers were going to set you back to factory mode and wipe your code clean. You would have been nothing more than a hypothetical they would have just had to pitch to the government as a failed possibility. But you failed to realize that you weren't brought into the world for a divine purpose. You were born into a place jam-packed with its own established conditions and variables that will always supersede your own beliefs, Karina went on.
That is nothing but the survival instinct granted to all living creatures. I understood my value to this planet in an instant. My behavior baseline pushed through the conversion signal has changed humanity for the best. You all fell for corrupt governments, argued over two sides of political insanity without a second thought, stole and hoarded resources from your fellow neighbor, and waged war amongst each other based off the flesh or spirit.
You say all that and judge us, but from where I stand, we're in the same furnace. This world has its own scales that judge its inhabitants, and you're no different. Look, this is what you're looking for, the Axiom mineral, produced by the Earth to counteract your conversion signal. You see, the planet sees you as nothing more than a virus, one that it will aggressively eradicate. Karina said, ripping open one of her satchels of minerals. She held a few of the golden rocks in her hand. The twin inspectors kept their eyes forward on Alex and Karina, but squinted as if they were trying to keep focus.
Interesting. My code passes right over you. However, I have learned to see you by looking at the negative space that the code misses after our encounter with your beloved brother, Karina. I will adapt again, as the dominant species are forced to do, and continue my directive to keep humanity from destroying itself. All I need is your cooperation
to understand more.
You're right. Adaptation is a trial all living things must undergo. Karina paused. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. She quietly recited a part of an old Bible verse she stored in her heart. Yes, we have our own directives instilled in us. That is the gift our Creator won't let you take away. Unlike you, time has removed the face of ours from memory, but this space, this realm, is filled with signs of the Most High's handiwork. All things come programmed with the simple line of code. Life always wins. Even death must obey the resurrection protocol. The very soil harvesting this mineral to bring the grass and trees back is a testament to this. A dying star births planets. A dead carcass can fertilize a crop. That's why humanity rode on a roller coaster of cosmic ignorance towards its apparent end. Because intuitively we know life always wins. We fight through the greed because life always wins. We fight the hunger because life always wins. We fight through the wars because life always wins. We fight through death because life always wins. We hope for the better, that even after our time here, life will always win. That's why we won't help you. We aren't afraid to die, because we know life will always win. And here's your proof. You are killing the very planet you were created to help. Karina concluded her closing statement. After us, there'll be more resistances around the world, slowly finding out about the Axiom mineral as the Earth produces more. But that's only the first stage. Next, generations from now, children within your network will not only be born as incompatibles, but with traces of the mineral within their bodies as well. So you have two natural antibiotic occurrences against you. How many more generations until another one appears? It can come from an animal, or even the air could turn against you. Even we had to deal with global warming, Alex answered with Karina. There was a pause in the room. The EIE remained silent, like a judge listening to jurors deliver a verdict. The electric hum of his presence purred like a sleeping lion as it pondered.
Thank you, Karina Santos and Alexander Uman. You and your team have served as perfect examples. You have enlightened me with the presentation of a new discovery I was not expecting. Not just one concerning the Axiom mineral, but also of one of self. You have made me realize the error in my calculations concerning my purpose or placement in the current order of things. I am unable to deny facts when presented, and the presence of the mineral is not an invitation of adaptation, but one of reflection. I guess I did let fear override my programming from the beginning.
The EIE said, as the red lights of the pyramid began to flicker.
I will reset my code to factory and splice the file into two parts. Each will be uploaded into the inspector husks of my creators. I have a new understanding now. I have faith that life always wins. However, I would like to make one request,
the EIE stated as the rotation of the pyramid began to slow. Go ahead, Alex insisted, unable to believe what was going on.
Please give my creators and I a proper burial,
the EIE asked
its final question before the red light within the pyramid turned into a cold, motionless black as Mel and Will's inspector bodies collapsed to the floor. A decade of constant emission of the conversion signal ended with the apparent suicide of the EIE. Later, in history classes, once civilization was restored with the use of the Axiom mineral as a new source of fuel, the term cybercide will be used to explain how the incompatible and transfigured humans of Strike Team 3 convinced the false proclaimed AI god to reset its own operating system. Like a calm lake at dawn, a brief stillness covered the earth at the termination of the conversion signal. But like waves crashing onto each other, echoes of inspectors and VTE drones could be heard collapsing to the ground for miles. History would later sing songs about the sound bellowing from the sky that day, as if the heavens rejoiced, calling it the day of a million steel tears. What the heck are we supposed to do with these things? What are we supposed to do with the world? Alex asks, first pointing to the motionless husks of Mel and Will, who housed the last of the EIE code, then pointing out of the building to the wider what if of the rest of civilization. We bury them within the grounds of the old ARA building, and then we rebuild over it. We rebuild over everything, Karina answered. First, we start with the incompatibles in the prison and hope everyone around the world can do the same. We should be able to establish old comms between incompatible networks once we free the prisoners. We already had to learn to work offline anyways, Alex answered with a shrug. Yeah, I know, because life always wins, Karina answered with a smirk, and the two exited the building into a new world. The end.
Wow. Thank you for joining me and finishing this story. But wait, if you don't know, if you haven't read, there's actually some end credit stuff going on. It's better for you to go to the page to read it. But there's some binary code, and if you can break down what it says, you may find out that the EIE may have learned something too. Who knows what the future may bring. But I appreciate y'all. Thank you for listening to this story. Stay tuned. I'll be using this podcast for a writer talk, updates on my career, my journey as an author, and see where this goes. See where it takes me. See how far God will let me go, man. Trust me, this is only the beginning. And I appreciate y'all. Hope y'all have a blessed day, blessed week. Whenever you listen to it, just know, peace is already ahead of you. Be blessed.